Our gospel reading comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, in which we hear these words. When Jesus went to Capernaum, a centurion approached, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is flat on his back at home, paralyzed, and his suffering is awful." Jesus responded, "I'll come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and the servant does it." When Jesus heard this, he was impressed and said to the people following him, "I say to you with all seriousness, that even in Israel, I haven't found faith like this. I say to you that there are many who will come from east and west and sit down to eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. It will be done for you just as you have believed." And his servant was healed that very moment. Jesus went home with Peter and saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and served them. That evening, people brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed. He threw the spirits out with just a word. He healed everyone who was sick. This happened so that what Isaiah the prophet said would be fulfilled. "He is the one who took our illnesses and carried away our diseases." Friends, the word of the Lord. Jesus the carpenter had hands that were bronzed by the sun. They were strong hands. And with those great strong hands, he came to be the hands of God, lifting up a fallen humanity. Early in his ministry, Jesus was in the area of the Decapolis, the 10 Roman cities around the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Two blind men followed him, and they begged Jesus to have mercy on them. And then Jesus touched their eyes, and their sight was restored. Later, Jesus healed a boy who was possessed by a demon. Laying hands on the boy's head, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And he was healed from that moment. When they put Jesus to death, they drove great nails through those hands of mercy and kindness. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples and he said, "Look at my hands." And when Jesus left the disciples, he raised his hands and he blessed them. Then we read in today's Bible passage from Matthew's gospel. Jesus was at the headquarters for his Galilean ministry in the city of Capernaum. And while staying in that city, Jesus had a room in the home of Simon Peter, who was a fisherman. Now, Simon's house was located only about a block away from the synagogue, so it was a convenient place for Jesus to stay. And if you go to Capernaum today, you'll still find those two buildings, the synagogue and Peter's house, or what's left of it. Matthew tells us that after Jesus had delivered the Sermon on the Mount near Capernaum, he came back to town where he met a Roman centurion. And this man asked Jesus to heal his servant. When Jesus agreed to go to his home, the man said, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." And when Jesus heard this, he was impressed. And he said to the people following him, "I say to you with all seriousness that even in Israel, I haven't found faith like this." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. It will be done for you just as you have believed." And then Jesus and Simon Peter went home. And when they got there, they discovered Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. Jesus went into her room and Matthew gives us a description of what happened. Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And then she got up and served them. In those few verses, Matthew tells us so much about what Jesus did for people everywhere and what he still does. Now, if you're following along with the study guide in your bulletin, this is the first line that we come to. I'll repeat it for you. Matthew tells us so much about what Jesus did for people everywhere and what he still does. What Jesus does is very simple, and simply this. The healing touch of Jesus' hand cured the sickness of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus' hand cooled her head. Now, we know very little about this person. We know her illness wasn't something permanent. It was a high fever. We do know that Jesus saw that she was sick with this fever, and no one had to tell him or ask him to go do anything about it. Jesus did what he always did. He responded to the human situation, the human need. Jesus touched her hand with his hand, and the fever left her. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still cures us. I'll repeat that. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still cures us. Several years ago, I had a dramatic illustration of this from my own life. I had the privilege of going to India on a mission trip. And we spent 2 weeks going out to remote villages, walking around the villages and praying for anyone who requested prayers. Many of them weren't even Christian. They were Hindus and pagans. One evening we were waiting to have a praise and worship service at the headquarters for the organization that was sponsoring us there. And there was a young man who played the keyboard who was accompanying the singing, and prior to the service, he was practicing on his keyboard. And while he was practicing, he got bit on his left elbow by a large spider. And he just kind of brushed it off and didn't think much about it, but his elbow swelled up. In fact, his elbow swelled up to about the size of a small melon. And his arm was so stiff he couldn't play, and he was in a lot of pain and discomfort. Three of us gathered, laid hands on his elbow, and prayed for healing in Jesus' name. 15 minutes later, the swelling was gone. The pain was gone. He was able to use his arm again. And he was able to play the keyboard for our worship and praise service that evening. I believe that was because of Jesus. And the healing touch of Jesus still cures us this day. Sometimes it is physical illness. There are many examples of people who have been healed of some physical illness when doctors saw no cure. And many times doctors have said, yes, there is a cure here, but this isn't my doing. And sometimes it's not because of the touch of any human hand, but the touch of God's hand. Sometimes people have an emotional illness, an illness of the mind. Barbara Brookhoff told about a lady who is listed in the book, Who's Nobody in America? And this woman's name is Mildred. She's been under the care of her therapist for a number of years, but he still calls Mildred Sarah. No wonder she was in therapy. Sometimes that's where we need God's touch. Sometimes it's an illness in relationships. The news is full of it every day. Conflict between nations, groups, classes, races, families, individuals. All the world needs the healing touch of God's hand. Whatever it is, none of us are immune from various kinds of illnesses. All of us live all of the time in a danger zone. There was a man who lived out in L.A. who had an unhealthy fear of driving on the freeway. He refused to do it, and he talked to his doctor about his problem, and the doctor said, well, you know, you need to break out of this fear, which really is controlling your life. So I want you to break out by going out there sometime during the week when it's safe to drive on the freeway. I would suggest you try it at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Protestants are going to be in church. Catholics are going to be in Mass. And since the Jewish Sabbath ended at sundown on Saturday night, the Jews won't be out on the freeway. They'll be out playing golf. So the next Sunday, the man tried driving on the freeway. He pulled out onto the freeway at exactly 11 a.m. and was run over by a Seventh-day Adventist. Life is dangerous for us all. And because it is, we still need the touch of Jesus' healing hand to cure our illnesses, to cool our heads, to shape and reshape us, to mold and to mend us. We still need the healing touch of Jesus' hand to cure what is wrong with us. The touch of Jesus' hand made Simon Peter's mother-in-law steady. Jesus put his hand on her hand, as Matthew writes, and her fever left her. And then she got up. Jesus put her back on her feet and he made her steady. She was no longer weak and disoriented. Now she was back in control. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still makes us steady. I'll repeat that. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still makes us steady. And my goodness, we need that today. One Sunday, I heard some parents coming into the Sunday school, and one mother said, we were talking about what state we live in, and my youngest said, we live in the state of confusion. Many of us do live in the state of confusion these days. Many of us are caught up in a constant whirlwind of constant activity. Living in such times, we need something to hold us steady. We need the hand of God because of everything going on around us. We need the hand of God to hold us steady. The steady hand of God will enable us to get back on our feet in the face of all the things that would overwhelm us and in spite of life's disappointments, many of which have the power to just flatten us out. We need the steady hand of God in our lives and the steadying influence of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul urges us, therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day and after you have done everything possible to still stand. And then when we stand, we discover the miracle which has taken place. When Jesus enables us to stand, then we stand for God. When Jesus enables us to stand, we find ourselves standing for Him. We still need Jesus' hand to make us steady. And that brings us simply to this. The touch of Jesus' hand enabled Simon Peter's mother-in-law to serve. Jesus' healing hand put her hands to work. Matthew writes that she got up and served them. Now back on her feet, she served those who were there. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still enables us to serve. I'll repeat that. The healing touch of Jesus' hand still enables us to serve. The healing touch of Jesus' hand is our motive for giving ourselves to the Church of Christ and to the kingdom of God. The healing touch of Jesus' hand puts us in Christ's church, and it also puts Christ's church in us. It does something to the way we look at life. It gives us a different set of values. It makes us want to be servant leaders. The healing touch of the hand of Christ on us gives us a different understanding of our own hands. Hands which could be used for taking become hands used for giving. Hands which could be used for hoarding become hands used for sharing. Hands which could be used for holding down become hands for lifting up. How will you use your hands? I'll repeat that. How will you use your hands? There were two young brothers who wanted to become artists. Neither of them had the money to go to school. And while both of them wanted to paint, one knew that the other clearly had more talent. So he offered to work while his brother went to school. The student studied and learned, while the other worked long and hard in the heat of the sun. With the passing of time, the hands of the artist became skilled, while the hands of the laborer became scarred. One night, the artist saw his brother sitting by a window praying, and he decided to paint those hands which had been sacrificed so that his skill could be perfected. Today, we call the painting of those hands the praying hands. Hands turned down to the soil and turned up to God have now become an inspiration to millions. How will you use your hands? Matthew tells us in verse 15 that Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her, and then she got up and served them. Would you open your life to the healing touch of Jesus' hand so that he would be able to use your hands? Amen.